Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, 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 calling all radio amateurs. This is WD8QZN, activating the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net. This net is held every Sunday at 8 p.m. local time on 147.165 MHz W4VA repeater in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for technical discussion and questions and answers regarding technical topics such as equipment, hardware, computer software, antennas, operating procedures, and other similar information related to the radio art. Brief topic of discussion for this evening, and that is homebrew Yagi construction, specifically as it relates to element spacing calculations and performance. And I'll be interested to see, first off, how many folks out there have built Yagis either for HF or UHF, VHF, what have you, and if so, how many elements, what spacing formulas you used, and how those worked out for you. So we will come back to that shortly here. Let me get through a few announcements. First off, solar flux today is sitting around 100, sunspot number of 57, A index of 19, K of 2. Looking at the next peak in solar flux between the 11th and the 16th of the month at around 140. I say a word of thanks for all those who worked to organize Field Day event and make that a smashing success. That was a good event. We have a club meeting coming up on Thursday the 21st, a little bit out of sequence here because of where Field Day weekend fell there, kind of crushing things at the end slash beginning of the month. That meeting again is at 7:15 p.m., both in person and online, and WebEx address for that is on the club website. Then we have the fox hunt coming up on the 23rd at 10 a.m. and the club breakfast at the Wegmans in Gainesville on the 30th at 8:30 a.m. Before we dive into the technical topic here, let me go ahead and take check-ins. We'll go through, do a round-robin discussion on what y'all have built, and I will tell you what I have been reading. So anyone wishing to check in to the FAR Technical Service Net, please call WD8QCN now.
This is K1HTV.
Yo, Oscar, 4, Whiskey, Yankee, X-Ray, no comments.
W4RKU.
Kilo 4, Bravo, Oscar, X-Ray.
Kilowatt 3, Foxtrot, Romeo.
Kilo, Oscar, 4, Romeo, Bravo, Whiskey.
AO4, November, Mike, Charlie.
Whiskey Bravo 7, Romeo Alpha Victor.
Kilo Oscar 4, Victor November Zulu, in and out.
KF4, TEK, no comment.
And 7IVV, Echo Link.
Okay, let's pause there for a moment. So far I have K1HTV. KO4WYX, no comment. W4RKU, K4BOX, K3FR, KO4RBW, KO4NMC. There was another station in there that was barely making the repeater. It just broke squelch. I did not get a call sign. Might try that one again. Then I had WB7RAV, KO4VMZ in and out, KO4TEK, and N7IVV on Echolink. Any other check-ins, please call WD8QCN.
Kilo Oscar 4, Zulu Victor Mike. Checking in.
KO4ZDM and the weak station I couldn't pull out. Anyone manage to catch that call sign?
Becca KG7APV.
KG7APV, Rich.
Becca KJ7 Alpha Papa Victor.
KJ7, got it. Thank you. Any further check-ins, please call WD8QCN before we jump into our discussion. Hey, Rich, interested in hearing your feedback on this since you were the one that inspired my deep dive into the topic here. K1HTV, take it away from WD8QCN.
WD8QCN, And the net from K1HTV, good evening all. Getting ready for the 4th of July. Hopefully we'll have a good 4th. Lots of good food and enjoyment. As far as the Yaggies, I have in the past have built the Quad Yaggies or Quaggies. Basically, son Andy and I built a number of them. Wood booms, horizontal elements made out of wire, and the quad made out of a box of wire as the driven element, and the reflector. Had very good luck with it. It was based on an article in QST, and made some for 2 meters and 70 centimeters, and quite effective, inexpensive to make. And you can still make them, but most people are buying commercial Yaggies. If you're going to build a Yaggy, I would go with one with a known design based on people who have done the modeling using some of the modeling software that's out there, EasyNeck and some of the other Yaggy Optimizer. There are a couple of programs that allows you to optimize the Yaggy for most gain or best front to back. There's a number of ways of modeling the Yaggy, but modeling is the way to go, not just cut and try and use, just guessing at it. You can really do quite well if you follow the modeling numbers. As far as activity, had a good band opening Saturday. Andy K1RA and Travis W8BT and Terry W8ZN came over early in the morning Saturday to look at the bearing. They were able to raise the tower thanks to Gil Cam4OZH, who lent us some 3/4-inch rod, threaded rod, was able to raise the tower a couple inches. Look at the bearing. The bearing seemed to have a little wobble to it, the base bearing, and like there's almost something under it. Did not raise the bearing. We just moved it around 90 degrees. The rotator, the tower was freezing in the southwest position. And before the tower was lowered back down again to the top of the bearing, rest of the bearing, we re-greased the bearing. Then the tower was rotating fine for almost the whole day until the afternoon. There was an opening to Hawaii, worked two Hawaiian stations, an H6Y on 6 meters and K6CJJ. And after that, I swung the beam to the southeast, worked a couple of Brazilian and Argentina stations, and the beam stuck to the southeast now, 90 degrees from where it stuck before. Travis had rotated the lower bearing 90 degrees, and sure enough, so it's stuck in a different position. So we're going to have to come up and try to lift the bearing up and see if there's anything underneath that might be raising the bearing on one side, the base part of the bearing. Other than that, there's been some good openings on 15 and 17. With the lower solar flux numbers, there have been some pretty good Asian openings on 15 in the morning, long path. And in the evening, I'm looking forward to seeing that solar flux number that Steve mentioned going up to at the 140 mark. That'll help even more. Is there anything else in my notes? FP/KV1J is on from the island of St. Pierre, which is off of Nova Scotia, active on 6 meters and the HF band. So if you haven't worked Pox Papa prefix, he is active. This morning there was some activity from Western Europe, a couple of Western Europe stations on 6 meters. Also a UX in Ukraine was on, and a HERD Z6DX in the Republic of Kosovo, which I need for a new one, but I was not able to work him. But he's quite active. That's it for now. Back to net control. This is K1HTV.
All right. Thanks for that, Rich. Much appreciated. Let's see. KO4WYX, Matt, I think you were no comment. I'll go down to Kevin, W4RKU. How are you tonight? And what's your Yaggy building experience? And how's your fourth weekend going?
WD8QCN, this is W4RKU. So far I've been busy. Actually, my fourth weekend has been working the 13 colonies. I only got one more state to go, CW, and then I have Great Britain and France, CW, so I think it's Great Britain. My Yagi Bear experience is zero. You know, this tape measure antennas are used for fox hunts or your homemade Yagis in a way. It was nice to spend some time with you in the CW trailer truck when things started going wacky. Other than that, I can't think of anything else I was going to add. So I will turn it back over to you, and I wish you a happy 4th. WGA, W4RKU VectorNet.
Kevin, thanks much. And yeah, Field Day was a great time, and I managed to get the digital station there up and running, and I think I worked about 125 contacts before 10 o'clock, although our dupe checking wasn't quite working the way it should have. I wasn't seeing the dupes until after the fact, so there were a bunch of dupes in there, but yeah, we worked them anyway. I think a lot of the dupes I was seeing on the digital mode were probably from the GOTA trailer, come to think of it, but I think they were on FT8 for a little bit also. Probably got a few of them ahead of me. I don't know who took over after. It would be curious later on when we get down to Brad here, find out what our scores ended up being. Not that we're probably top of the list on anything, because I think we were kind of off to a little bit of a slow start, but I think all the bugs got worked out eventually. Let's see, we'll jump on down to Garth, K4BOX. How are you, and what's new in your neck of the woods, and what's your Yagi building experience?
WD8QCN, this is K4BOX. I've built one of the tape measure Yagis for a fox hunt years ago with my son Oscar, and then I helped out with the 4-H radio club to build a bunch of tape measure Yagis. But that's kind of the extent of my experience. I've never built a Yagi that I've ever tried to transmit with. It's always been for receive for the fox hunts. And then, we're planning kind of a low-key 4th. We have some fireworks that we're planning on setting off in the driveway here tomorrow evening. So I hope everybody is doing well, and I hope everybody has a good 4th of July. And this is K4BOX, back to net.
All right, thank you, Garth. Down to Ron, K3FR. How are you, and what's new with your 4th of July weekend? Up to anything good, and what's your Yagi building experience?
WD8QCN, this is K3FR. Well, okay. That's me holding the button here. Not getting it strong enough. 4th of July weekend, let's see. I'm enjoying it. I'm eating a lot of ice cream and hot dogs. Spent yesterday cleaning the Miata. Washing and waxing and polishing, and almost ashamed to take it out and get gas in it, but I did today, and went to church in it, and had a lot of fun with it. Anyway, I have to broaden that out to antenna building experiences rather than Yagi experiences, because I haven't ever built a Yagi other than the Moxon, which is somewhat of a Yagi, but it's its own special design. I just use the online program that designs the Moxon for you. Came out pretty good. I did have to add a little bit of length to the driven element to get it to get it to resonate and load with a low SWR at the 6-meter FT8 watering hole. Aside from the other antennas, I did build a 32-element extended expanded collinear array for 432 megahertz about 50 years ago, maybe even a little bit longer ago than that. That was just straight out of Frank Jones's book for VHF design. And That and a two-element phased verticals, which were just a couple of 4BTVs independently resonated and at the intended operating center frequency, and some wires strung out on the ground, and that worked fantastically. That worked very, very fantastically. So that's my experience. And everything is pretty much just cut and dry. I haven't modeled anything specifically for myself, though I am looking at another model that it breaks off of I've spoken about it. It's essentially a cell of a log periodic plus a director for 6 meters. Let's see if they can maybe squeeze a little bit more out than what the Moxon has for us. So that's my experience. WAQSCN, K3FR.
Standing. Thank you for that. Let's see. KO4RBW, David. How about you?
Good evening, all. This is KO4RBW. Doing well here. As far as building goes, I haven't built a Yagi yet, but a handheld is on the list of projects to do. I want to be able to do it for Fox Hunt as well as some satellite ops. So I'm looking for the UHF or VHF, you know, pretty small handheld Yagis. So definitely on the project list, but just recently got the components to do a inverted V wire antenna to work some HF, so I'm excited to receive the components and get that set up very shortly. This is KO4RBW, back to net.
All right, this is WD8QCN with the FAR Sunday Night Technical Service Net. Thank you for that, David. Yeah, it sounds super. And let's see, let's go down to KO4NMC.
Hey, good evening. Just getting back into town from a little bit of an extended trip, so I don't know if I'll be able to do this. I'm on a handy talkie and warranted stop for some gas, bite to eat. I don't have much experience building a Yagi yet, but I've started and stopped a couple times. I was building one for the VAQP and stopped because I ran out of time and ended up buying a commercial one and was surprised by the simplicity of it all. So one of the things that I did notice, though, is that the driven element was a different diameter than what I had. I'm building one out of the aluminum arrow shafts that you can get online with some threaded inserts. But I would like to hear if there's any thoughts behind a larger diameter driven element on it. And I'd like to build something that's pack deployable for SOTA activations. Let me take a break. And then the other thing I was going to add, this is kind of the first time I've been on since the field day, but I wanted to add kind of in the it's a small world category. I'm coming back from watching the launch of a space vehicle that I've spent the last 5 years running systems engineering for, and just an incredible kind of culmination of a lot of people's blood, sweat, and tears. Really neat activity to take the kids to go watch the thing launch from Canaveral. But I was telling someone recently that, you know, when I went back to school, I had dropped out of school. I didn't know what I wanted to do. My wife was getting her master's, and I started taking some classes at the local university that had a forestry department. And one of my first professors was really inspiring to me. He really taught me a lot and got me excited about environmental science and introduced me to this thing called remote sensing. And I still quote him to this day. And the funny thing is I ran into one of his kids at field day, the professor's Dr. Paul Risk, and finally put two and two together and realized that Brad's dad so many years ago at Stephen F. Austin State University inspired me to get involved in remote sensing, and I'm still working in that field today. So with that, I'll pass it back to the net, KO4NMC.
It's a great story. Like that one, KO4NMC, WJQCN. And yeah, remote sensing, great field. That's actually sort of kind of how I ended up in Virginia. I was at Weber State, worked on WeberSat back in the day, and when I graduated, I landed at Orbital Sciences right here in Dulles. Actually, back then it was in Fair Lakes, and worked on the C-STAR program for ocean surface color sensing and plankton tracking, all that sort of stuff, and sea surface temperature. And great field and led to all sorts of fun stuff, both RF-wise and otherwise. So fantastic field. And aero antennas, you can scale those up, although changing the diameter of the driven element will change your resonance a little bit. So you might read up a little bit on scale factor as far as diameter goes. I think there's a blurb in the antenna book about that somewhere. Let's see if KJ48PV, are you able to make the repeater now? This is WD8QCN with the FAR Sunday Night Technical Service Net. I was able to pull you out a little better that time. Made out 99% of that. So thanks for joining tonight. Still just kind of on the fringe of the repeater there, it sounds like, but doing good. Hope you have a great fourth. Down to Randy, WB7RAV. How are you tonight, and what's your experience with building antennas?
This is WB7RAV. Haven't built any. Bought them and put them together and erected them. I do have one portable VHF antenna that's a Yagi, but I bought it as a, it's a, you know, take it apart, put it back together, kind of thing. Not too much to it. Haven't been interested in it too much until recently, and I got too many other things in going on right now to think about designing antennas, but it'll be on the things I'm going to start doing in a bit. So never fear, I will suddenly get the urge to do it type thing. As far as activities, I've been doing the 13 colonies, got a clean sweep already, and I'm just waiting for some openings to get the European, the British and the French station. I've heard them, but not good enough yet and whatnot, but I got a couple more days yet to get them. But other than that, nothing much else going on. This is WB7RAV, back to net.
All right, thank you much for that. Hope you have a great holiday as well. Chuck, KO4VMZ was in and out. I think next on the list is Mike, KF4TEK.
Oh, 1 second. All right, that's better. I thought I checked in and out, but I must have failed. So happy Sunday to everybody. Built a couple of Yagis for fox hunting. There's a VK Yagi that's my current favorite for 2-meter fox hunting, and I think I sent the plans out to the group's IO before. You could look that up if you're interested. I've also built a small 900 megahertz Yagi with a folded dipole driven element and just two other pieces of number 10 wire stuffed through a half inch piece of PVC, and that worked okay as well. It's a lot easier to build Yagis for receive than for transmit, because the matches get a little more complicated, but good fun. Don't be afraid to just try it. That's about all I got. So 7-3, and back to net, KF4TEK.
All right, thanks, Mike. And next, we have Brad on Echolink. Go ahead, Brad. N7IVV, WD8QCM.
Good evening, everybody. This is N7IVV. First, I don't have the score from Field Day. John, I think, John's our scorekeeper. So he may have posted that on groups.io already. I'm still looking for France, or I'm still trying to work France on the 13 colonies. I've got 15 out of the 16. And Kevin told me he was on 20 meters on CW, but I couldn't quite get my stuff together well enough to be able to work him. I could have yanked the straight key out, but I would have a hard time getting in there quick enough with a straight key to be able to work. He was on CW. I tend to just sort of orbit on FT8. I did work a couple of stations on satellite, though. That was kind of fun. So, but anyway, still got to try France. Alan did speak to my dad. He was tickled to know that he's actually got people that still remember him out there. So It is a very small world. It's always gratifying when it's works out that way. And Yagis. Similar experience to Rich, actually. I built a couple of those quaggies that I think they still actually list in, I don't remember if it's the actual the Amateur Radio Operator's Handbook, but I know it's in the antenna book. And, wooden boom and real easy to use. I think I probably had coat hangers that I used for the wire. And those, of course, are hard to find anymore. I mean, it's plastic now, so you kind of got to use regular wire. But dabbled with some other things, and, of course, the tape measure Yagis and whatnot for the fox hunt and the arrow antenna for satellite work, which is obviously just a commercial antenna, but pretty slick, pretty cool. And play around with the antenna modeling software as well. But anyway, always enjoy building stuff. I like building stuff. So with that, back to you. Have a good weekend, everybody, in 7IVB.
Thanks for that, Brad. And last on the list here so far is KO4ZVM. Han, how are you tonight?
Hello, everyone. This is Kilo Oscar 4 Zulu Victor Mike on the air for the first time from this net. I've got a mobile rig, a Yaesu XD 400, FDM 400 XDR, set up with a very large diamond something antenna on the roof of my house here near the Flying Circus. I'm only out here on weekends, but checking in on the net for the first time. Hopefully I'm putting out a good signal. As far as Yagis go, I have built field expedient antennas as part of my training in the Army and also part of my civilian career. I presently don't have any HF equipment, but I figured I'd learn UHF, VHF first, and looking to meet everybody in the club here real soon. KO4ZVM. Back to net.
Good. Well, that sounds great, and your signal's super. You're making full quieting into the repeater from out there, which is no surprise. You're not too far from the repeater and with a good antenna out there. So, glad to have you with us, and appreciate all that. I'll share a little bit about my experience building antennas. I think the first Yagi I built was actually a cross Yagi using a 1x1 wooden boom. It was for 2 meters. And I wanted to work the Russian satellites with it back in the mid-80s there. So basically built a three-element Yagi in two planes. Didn't do much special for matching or anything. Just made it up like a dipole and a little piece of 100-ohm coax for a phasing harness to cross-polarize the thing. And worked like a champ. I was, with 2 watts. Blowing those poor little Russian satellites out of the sky practically. So that was encouraging. But I've noticed recently here, and that was what I was kind of poking at tonight to see if anyone else had dug into this as far as building your own, that the recommended distances for the, at least for the first few elements, have shrunk by quite a bit according, to the latest modeling software. I think the old recommendation from the earlier antenna handbooks from the late 70s and 80s time frame there was like 0.22 wavelengths. Now for like the first three elements, it's down to like 0.125 to 0.15 somewhere in that area. And apparently it gives you great gain, but it kind of creates an offset wind loading. So you got to put like a dummy element out to compensate for it, especially stuff at HF where it makes a big difference in wind loading. So I am looking to cobble together something out of PVC. I haven't decided whether I'm going to use just wire or get some aluminum tubing to do the elements with. We'll have to see what materials I can scrounge up here. It's going to be a budget operation just to see what I can do with it. Probably just build it for 17 meters to start with and then maybe modify it and see if I can make it a tri-bander for 17, 15, and 12 or something like that. Matching is going to be the hard part. know if I'm going to go with a trap element to get multi-band or try to do some sort of a fan arrangement. We'll, I'll let you all know how that works out when I get there. Appreciate all the feedback. And let's see, let's do one more call for check-ins for the FARA Sunday Night Technical Service Net. This is WD8QCN.
K1HTV, recheck.
Rich?
Just a comment on the couple things. One of them is the thickness of the driven element, or actually any element. When you thicken the driven element, or when you, yeah, it'll effectively have an effect on the resonant frequency of it. It'll effectively lengthen. It seems like it's longer than a thinner element would be. So you need to model it, recalculate based on the thickness of the element. It will have an effect on the electrical length. So the element at the same length as a wire, or a very thin element, a thick one is going to be resonant at a different frequency than the thinner element. Regarding the spacing, the same. Yeah, I've noticed that I have a 15-meter beam out ready to go up, a high gain, which is a 155 BAS, and the newer version is called the 155 CA. Compared to the lengths and the pattern is supposedly better, and I noticed the same thing. I had to lengthen and shorten some of the elements, and the spacing is definitely shorter between the driven element and driven element and director one, and the distance between director one and director two is shorter, and as you go further out, director three and four is spaced much farther out. Of course, the fourth one being at the very end of the boom, but the third one is definitely out, which makes the balance point different. I was able to, since the Yagi is going to be mounted right on a tower face, the whole tower turns, not as much of a problem as if you're going to mount it on a vertical mast, and it will become much more. It'll no longer be balanced, so you'll have to find a different balance point or weight the Yagi to compensate for the shifting of the weight of the elements further up inside or outside the boom. That's about it. Back to net control. This is K1HTV.
For that, Rich, so thickening the element equals lengthening it, essentially. That's good to know. And, as far as having the non-standardized spacing there, so the elements bunched together, that will change your wind loading, too. So you gotta watch that and make sure you don't end up wind vaning. That was the other key issue.
AK4GG.
I missed a call there. This is WD8QCN. Station, please call again.
This is Alpha Kilo 4 Golf Golf on Echolink. I'm broadcasting, connecting from Bruges in Belgium. It's about 2:50 in the morning here. Nice and cool, about 61 degrees, 50, and during the day it was beautiful. One fives.
Well, John, thanks for all that, and checking in from Belgium. That's in DX. Good deal, man. Much appreciated, and hope you have safe travels there. Any further check-ins for the FARA Sunday Night Technical Service Net before we wrap up, please call WD8QCN. Any rechecks? All right. Thanks for everyone for checking in tonight. Hope you all have a pleasant 4th of July. This is WD8QCN, Net Control for the FARA Net. Again, thanks for everyone for checking in tonight and spending a little time with us. If you'd like further information regarding tonight's discussion or information on FARA, please see our website at w4va.org or send an email to faranet@w4va.org. This is WD8QCN closing the net and returning the repeater to normal amateur use. Thanks again for all that have joined us, and have a great evening. 73s.